This is Corolla Digital.
Sisters, welcome to Penn's Sunday School, starring Penn Jillette. My name is Michael Godeau, and in Vintage Nude Studios today, we got lots of squid news. And last night, my dad had a spider in his ear and refused to kill it, and we're talking about going on a trip somewhere to do a Sunday school. Got somewhere we should go? Let us know. Here he is, preaching the love, Mr. Penn Jillette.
Yeah, Richard Ross, you want to go back to squid? Is it squid time?
We've been talking
so much about squids on this show that I'm thinking that Monkey Tuesday.
Oh, man, it's been months
since you said it, so Rich has fallen asleep.
Uh-oh.
He's either still searching for the music file or just cutting his wrist.
There it is.
There won't be any Monkey Tuesday today. But I'm thinking that we've been talking so much about squids, and we have Richard Ross.
Yeah, we need a Squid Sunday theme.
Maybe we need to have Jonesy pull up a Squid Sunday theme.
All right.
Because a Squid Sunday theme would be good. It might need words. You might need to have it.
we should all sing it. That would be great.
Well, I was thinking of maybe I'll write some lyrics for Squid Sunday.
All right.
You know, although, you know, you don't want to... Whenever you got the word Sunday, you've got fun day as your rhyme. And I don't want that. I would like to do something more squiddish. But maybe I can work on it. And is the plural of squid squid or is the plural of squid squids?
Why are you looking at me and saying that? You have an expert on the line.
Let's bring him up, Rich Ross.
How you doing, everyone?
I thought he'd just pop up like magically right there.
Oh, man, that segment was so sweet, too. It was really good.
It was really good, yeah.
Like a real professional place for a second.
You know, I thought that that the plural of swan should be swan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I wished for that, and then it turns out it's proper. It's a proper plural.
Okay.
So you don't have to say swans. You can say swan. What's the plural of squid, Rich?
I can say with 62% certainty that it's
squid.
But
I can imagine he did the joke and said, squid riches. That's what I would imagine, Rich.
Well, we were talking about the octopus octopi thing also.
Yeah, it's octopuses is the plural.
Yeah.
Octopi is the incorrect plural. It's a misunderstanding of the Latin.
Rich almost hit me. Ready, Rich almost hit me when I suggested that.
Yeah, octopi is not the real plural of octopus.
It is.
What's that?
It's okay.
It's okay?
Octopi is okay, because my understanding is sometimes when words get brought in from other language, it's okay to Latinize them.
Even if it's not a Latin word?
Even if it's not a Latin word, except because it's a Greek word, you really should call it octopodes.
Octopodes for the plural?
Yeah, but if you say it that way, people will hit you.
Now, what's the plural of squid? Squidopody?
It's... Squid eye. No, it's squid.
It's not squids.
I don't believe it's squids. I believe it's just squid.
You know, because with fish, I find this fascinating. The plural of fish is fish if you're talking about the same species. And the plural of fish is fishes if it's several different species.
Oh.
So you can say, did you know that? Did you know that, Rich?
I did know that.
And where does the word squid come from, Rich?
From my pants? I don't know.
Now, before we get to the Squid Sunday information, you're on that horrible way to treat
27
children.
27 events that can ruin your childhood. How did you end up on this list? On BuzzFeed.com, 27 events that can ruin your childhood. Rich Ross is number what, 22?
22? That made me so angry. That's been coming up for years because I didn't watermark that photo, so it's everywhere except without my name on it, which is so sad. But it used to be like 5 or 6, and now I've dropped to 22. I guess I better have another kid and do something terrible with it.
For those of you who want to see our squid expert in action, you go to the, what is it, 27?
BuzzFeed.com. / Benny Johnson / 27. Just search 27 events that can ruin your childhood.
And number 22 is you in a ninja outfit or a karate outfit, right?
When you were used as a kung fu weapon is the title. And it's Rich Ross holding his poor daughter by the feet, getting ready to punch her.
Well, here's the thing. I never saw that in that image. It was we were just taking pictures one day in the martial arts school, not a dojo, a school. And the kid was there. And so we grabbed her and I held her upside down. And if you flip the image upside down, you can see she's smiling. And then people started to see it, and all of a sudden it was like, you're about to punch your kid. And I thought that was a very strange reaction to that photograph.
It's like you're going to break her in half.
How old is your daughter now?
She's 10 now. Well, she'll be 10 in April.
So that was 9 years ago, that picture.
It was about eight, nine years ago, yeah.
And are you a big karate guy?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I have two black belts, which of course we know mean nothing, but except that I went through the testing, which is something. It's more of exercise now than me caring about any curriculum.
Yeah, well, you know what Archer says. Archer says karate, the Dane Cook of martial arts.
Well, I got to say, I was really happy when the place I study at left the association. So they used to be part of a McDojo kind of association. Always caused. They would pray, and it was really hard. And the curriculum was weird, and it was clearly, you know, they were trying to force it on the schools more and more, and eventually our school just left, and I was really happy about that.
Good. Are you like an instructor there or something? You show how to hang kids upside down?
Oh, every chance I get, for sure.
It'd be great if every year you tried to recreate that pose with your daughter. As she grew and you grew older, it's somewhat more difficult to do.
I now try to hold her out like that, and her head just slams into the floor.
Is she proud of being number 22 on that list?
Is she proud? I don't think she cares so much. With a lot of things that I show her now that she's 10, she goes, really, Dad? Really? And then
she walks away. Surprising how early that starts, isn't it?
It is. She just wants to go and do her little sculptures and draw her kitties and dragons.
Sure.
You know, my daughter's still excited about having done a magic trick on The View when she was 2 years old. She still shows people that. But that's going to go away. She's 7 now, and the real dismissive quality kicks in at what, 8, 9?
Yeah, I think at 8.
At 8. So I get another 6 months of my daughter thinking stuff we do is interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of. I think they like to just pretend more that it's interesting, but it really is.
What?
You dropped out on that one. Maybe we were confused.
I did. I was going to say, I think they're just pretending not to be interested, but they are interested.
Okay. That's just not what you said. if you wonder why we were confused, it's that we were trying to turn what you said into that, because we thought that's what you were going to say, but it's not what you said. The transcript will show that that's not what you said. Now, how close are you to Oakland?
Well, my house is like 10 feet from Oakland, 100 feet from Oakland.
So if we were going to move the show somewhere, we moved to Oakland, we could have our squid expert live on the show, right?
You could. That would be fantastic. And we could take you for barbecue.
Well, you know what? We have to talk before we have him on the show, because he's been holding out on us.
What's that?
What?
Okay. You know what? For a year, Rich has had an undiscovered species of octopus in his house taking photos and has not told us anything about it.
The octopus was taking photos?
Yes, exactly.
Also, how does he know there's an undiscovered octopus in his house? There could be an undiscovered octopus in my house by the definition of undiscovered. There could be undiscovered unicorns. There could be undiscovered swimsuit models in my house. If they're undiscovered, I don't know about them.
Right. Well, right. you still don't know about Rich's.
You cannot prove that there is not an undiscovered squid at your house.
That's true. By definition. So you don't mean undiscovered, you mean unnamed.
Undescribed.
Undescribed. That's the word I was going for.
And the story of this one is kind of interesting.
It better be.
I think it's really interesting because I'm a nerd. But in 1990, there was a note about it in a journal article, and then there was going to be a longer paper published, but the guy who wrote it turned it in for peer review and got just a scathing, horrible review. And we think that that kind of pushed him off of doing anything with octopuses anymore, which is a real shame. And no one's actually seen one of these animals alive until last year.
And where, was, where are they seeing it
And
alive
it was in
now?
Your house?
There's a, at my house.
The article says in his home lab.
My home lab. You like that?
I love that.
To say it's in my other room.
But I mean,
also known as the bathroom.
We're coming very, very close to, I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I'll never know. How did a squid get into your home and not be described on the way in?
Well, it's...
Scientifically
described. I mean, I could describe it colloquially, but...
But I mean...
I didn't wake up and there it was.
I brought it into the house.
It didn't come of its own accord.
Where'd you find it?
Well, I know a lot of the collectors of marine life and the importers of marine life. So we were working with one guy in Nicaragua who was collecting a different kind of animal for some people I knew. And also, really, I was working with him for a smaller octopus that comes from that area that is described. And but that's a really weird octopus as well. And so I've been breeding that one. And then they caught this other octopus and they didn't know what it was.
You don't mean breeding with that one. You mean breeding that one, right?
Yes. I mean breeding that one.
Okay.
Breeding with that one is certainly not something you could do in a home lab.
No, you have to go to a hotel lab.
With hourly rates.
Mr. and Mrs. Squid. And he said, I got this other one that hasn't been described. You want it?
Well, he doesn't know if it's been described or not. He just said he had this weird octopus. So then he got it to us, and Roy Caldwell at UC Berkeley is the guy I've been working with on the smaller octopus. And we had only seen drawings of this octopus, and from the description that the collector sent us, we got really kind of excited because we never expected to see one of these things alive ever. It was the right octopus. It's called the larger Pacific striped octopus. And then he was able to get us six or seven more. And so those we've been working with for the past year. And then just a bunch of new ones seemed to be coming on the market. So we kind of went public with it before the description and the behavioral paper is ready, just to get ahead of that curve. Because I haven't been saying anything for a year, and I'd be really depressed if somebody else went, hey, look at this octopus I've got.
Is that the way that's your other squid guy voice? That's the way the other squid guy talks?
It is.
Well, this is the most beautiful octopus in the world.
I think so.
It is astonishing. Tell us some stuff about it.
That's what you told them when you wanted to get into the squid hotel.
Well, it's great because it can change its color with the squid hotel, so it never looks like I'm bringing the same octopus there. It's really, really kind of a beautiful octopus. It's got on its mantle, which is the part people call the head, but it's really more the torso, you know, the big bag on the top of the octopus. It's got these kind of black and white and creamy stripes on it. And on the top of all of its arms, it can get these black field with white polka dots all over it. So it's got stripes and spots.
How big is it?
It's about from arm tip to arm tip, about 8, maybe 10 inches.
Yeah, arm tip to arm tip. It's a little thing. It's a little fella. Yeah.
It's not that big. It's, you know, the mantle is probably about the size of a, somewhere between a golf ball and a baseball.
And that's considered a large one?
Yeah, the little one, the lesser Pacific striped octopus, its mantle is about the size of a quarter at the most.
Boy, that's a good looking octopus. Maybe Ready Rich will pull it up so that other people can see it. We can put it on the website. But that's a really fine, fine looking octopus. It's on advancedaquarius.com.
And speaking of
Aquarist
of the hotel lab, this octopus mates face to face, or as much of a face as an octopus has.
Yeah, it does all kinds of weird stuff. What you're talking about is beak to beak, really, not face to face. So
wow.
If you look at an octopus from the top, if you flip it over on the side where all the suckers are, mm-hmm. in the middle there is its mouth, which has got a really sharp beak on it, and that's how that's how they eat. I was going to say one of the ways they eat, but that wouldn't make any sense.
So under the octopus, where the legs are coming out, where you'd think their ass would be, that's where their beak is?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They got a beak in their ass, kind of?
Yes, I think we'll put that in the literature, too.
So does it have poor work ethics because it shits where it eats?
No, it shits out the other side.
Okay. Out the top of its head?
At the top of its torso bag.
It's mantle is what we call it in the professional squid circles. It shits out the top of its mantle?
Yeah,
which incidentally is iambic pentameter. I think it is. Anyway, I mean, if the last syllable is unstressed at the end, to be or not to be, I mean, I believe that's, yeah, it shits out the top of its mantle. It's a very nice poetic sentence. They shit out the top of their mantle and eat through the bottom of their mantle?
Say that again, sorry?
They shit out the top of their mantle and eat
well,
the
not
bottom?
Not the top of it, but there's the openings in their mantle where they can pull water in and then the funnel where they jet water out. Does that make some kind of sense in your visual brain? And they do a lot of their excreting through the funnel, actually. So they shit up there and it kind of squirts out the side there.
Cool. They're cool creatures. They're cool creatures. Now, what
they're
else?
Really cool. And so this one, and they're also not legs, if you want to sound hip when you're hanging out with a bunch of cephalopod people. Arms, not legs, because they act more like arms would than legs do.
I see. So the arms.
Yeah. Now you've been schooled.
But I mean,
octopodes and arms, you're all set.
Isn't tentacles also?
Tentacles are, the difference is generally that an arm will have suckers up and down its entire length, and a tentacle won't. A tentacle usually just has stuff at the very tip.
So squid have arms and tentacles.
Yes.
So tentacles are their hunting devices. They shoot them out and grab them.
And what are the suckers?
They're suckers.
I know.
They're like suction cups, and the octopus uses them to hold on to things, and also there's some chemosensing going on in there, so they actually can use them to smell and taste things.
So, but I mean, they're just what they look like. They're just like what would be on the end of a dart.
Exactly.
I mean, a safe dart.
it depends who you're throwing it at.
And that video that's been around the inner tube forever, that of the disappearing octopus. That matches perfectly the textures and everything. That's all real, right? I mean, that's not jive.
That is all real and not jive. And they are just amazing experts and of changing their shape and their color to be camouflage. And what it looks like, as it turns out, is they're not really trying to imitate the thing that they're on, because if you do the modeling, it doesn't look anything like the thing they're on. So they don't really look like algae. But they look close enough to algae to fool whatever's looking at it in thinking it looks like algae.
What?
Well, what I mean, in the example in that video, it looks like another arm of that thing instead of a copy of it. It looks like something like that, which is what I found so amazing.
In the camouflage video?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they can also push up these protuberances from their skin. So they can be smooth-skinned or they can be lumpy-skinned. So they can really fit in into any kind of background almost.
That's really... Now, have you named your greater striped octopus?
It's not published yet. We want to name it after this guy, Arcadio Rodniche, who did all that work before. And it looks like that's going to happen, but we're still kind of in discussions about
that. That was a good answer to the actual question that I asked, but it wasn't an answer to the question that I wanted to ask, which was, I mean, do you have a name like Pete or Bob or Hank?
Yeah, I usually name octopuses Fontanelle.
Okay.
Why is that?
It's the soft spot on your baby's head.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, that's your term of endearment?
Yeah. Because generally, if you name an animal, never mind. That's silly. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Billy or Susan. Also, Penn is a good name.
Do we know if this one's venomous?
We don't know.
We don't know many of them, right? Isn't that the? Because when I was visiting you, and we were visiting the Great Pacific Octopus, and it grabbed me and started pulling my arm into its mouth. That was my first question for you: is this venomous? And you said, "No, I don't know."
Probably not.
Now, we all know that the purple octopus in Australia is wicked, kill you dead fast, right?
The blue ring octopus, yeah.
That's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I said. I said a color.
I tried to just edge it back over the other way. I didn't mean to. Yeah, they're really, really nasty. They shut down your circulatory system and your respiratory system. So if anybody has those, because you can buy those in the pet trade, which is weird to me. I suggest that they put a sign on the tank and keep a copy of this in their wallet that says, if you found me laying down, not breathing, please start CPR immediately and keep going for at least 30 minutes and then explain about the octopus and give you a bunch of links. Because basically, if you get bitten by it, but you just keep your heart going and air going in and out of your lungs, you'll recover.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, but don't get bitten by one. That's just silly.
Why would you? Do you know people that have hot stuff that they keep? I mean,
I do. The guy I work with, that Roy Caldwell I was mentioning, he does a lot of work with the blue ring octopuses in his lab, and it was kind of funny.
But that's not a pet. That's a lab.
Oh yeah.
Like yours, it's not a pet. It's a lab.
No, it's a real lab. And after 9/11 and the anthrax stuff. He couldn't have guests in his lab for a while.
What?
Because they had cracked down on the toxin. He had this toxin in his lab, and they were worried that someone would grab the octopus and squeeze the toxin out and send it to the White House or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's where the energy should have gone on that. Right after 9/11.
That's what I'm with you there. But people do get them for their homes. They come in more often than anyone would really like. And it's even worse because they don't make particularly good pets. They get all colorful and blue when they're really angry. And most of the rest of the time they're blending in because they're kind of ambush predators. So you got to be a real kind of octopus enthusiast to really want to keep one.
Or a dick. Just slapping on the front of the aquarium every couple of minutes.
Yeah, and then sometimes you find people who've got them and they have kids in the house, and you know, it's a smaller octopus, and octopuses can escape from aquariums really easily, so you have to be really good at sealing it up in a way they can't. So, you know, and if you put it in an aquarium and then you can't see it and you don't know, is it in there or did it get out or is it hidden? And then you got to start looking for it, and you're just asking for trouble, in my opinion.
Well, how many people, though, I mean, this is the real question, how many people are bitten by the blue ring, well, what you call the blue ring is actually the purple octopus.
we're just calling it the purple octopus now.
What? How many are bitten in the United States a year? Zero, right?
Zero people are bitten by Penn's purple octopus.
So as dangerous and crazy as we think it is, in actuality, people aren't dying from this.
That's right. I would add the caveat that may be because people know to be wary about them.
Yeah.
It might be if you grab it and play with it, like Michael was doing with the giant Pacific octopus, bad things would happen. It's also possible that the toxin doesn't stay in their system, that they're getting something from their environment that allows them to develop, to produce it, and in captivity that goes away.
Oh, cool.
What we need is a whole lot of money for cephalopod venom research.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's
you know,
so thrilling. We could really get the public behind that.
I'm thinking Kickstarter. I'm thinking Kickstarter. And I'd love to see what you get for $500 on that Kickstarter. what is a Penn's Purple Octopus set you back if you wanted to buy one for the aquarium? We're getting very close to doing the Bob and Ray Komodo Dragon sketch. But if I wanted one of these blue ring octopuses for the home aquarium, what would that set me back, Rich?
Sadly, like $50.
Oh, that's really bad.
Yeah. It is. The reason...
Why is it Scientology buying these to put in people's mailboxes?
I think a rattlesnake's 200.
Yeah. I mean, they could save $150 of Tom Cruise's money on every hit.
And Gillette increases Scientology's profitability by 75%.
I believe it's by 150%. They are easy to collect. They're intertidal, so people can catch them at low tide.
You don't even need to dive. Okay.
Yeah, so that's why we see them so much. Now, there's all kinds of video out there of people holding them and people playing with them and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that and not getting bitten in the wild.
Like pit bulls.
You know, a lot of you do a search for Filipino octopus, and then you'll see them playing with it, and then you'll read the comments where people come out of the woodwork and start screaming how you know, irresponsible that is. But it, you know, it's just a dangerous thing that could kill you. So you should treat it that way, in my opinion.
You know how dangerous things that could kill me are treated in my household? They're not in my household.
They're not in your household?
Yeah. No
knives?
Oh, I'm sorry. Reddy Rich points out that he's in my house and he's a dangerous thing that could kill me. He's right there. Now, what I was trying to get to with the blue ring octopus, as you call it, regular octopuses, what is the sting like? The venom? What does it feel like? Have you been bitten by one?
I've been bitten by a dwarf cuttlefish. Actually, I'm a cuttle. We're going to call it a cuttle from now on because they're not fish. That's just a horrible common name. So I've been bitten by another cephalopod, and it felt like a light bee sting. So it could be that all cephalopods have some level of venom in their bites. We just haven't studied them enough to know
But the Kickstarter thing is going to solve that.
Yeah. Kickstarter and Craigslist.
Kickstarter will. My buddy.
NSA, no strings attached. I want to get stung by as many cephalopods as I possibly can all over my body.
That seems like something I would watch. Hey, my buddy Matt was bitten by a Pacific red octopus, and that one's got kind of a nastier sting, and he got a welt and it blew up and it hurt for a couple of days.
So kind of like a hornet maybe?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't really play with the smaller cephalopods at all because, you know, it's a dangerous thing, so I'm going to treat them all like they're dangerous. Unless, you know, you or Mike come with your kids, and then it's like, here.
Yeah. You kids pet that octopus. Let me know how
that
goes.
You said the smaller ones. Are the larger ones less dangerous?
They're less dangerous because it's harder. It's because they're bigger, I can pull your hand away from its beak faster.
I see.
You can see it coming.
You can see it coming. All right. And they've been studied. The giant Pacific don't seem particularly venomous. So, but on a Pacific, you just don't want to get bit. I mean, if it's an animal that's 8 feet across, it's got a big beak. It's got like a macaw's beak, and you just don't want that biting you.
No, I don't.
No,
I don't. I mean, you're a mind reader. I do not want to be bitten by a giant Pacific octopus. I'm going to keep you here because we haven't even gotten to the flying squid yet. But I'm going to do an attitude. Then I'm going to come. So you just sit right there and think about your blue ring octopus, okay?
Will do.
With colleagues working from different locations or traveling for business, Getting everyone together for a meeting can be an impossible task, unless you use GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with clients and colleagues online. GoToMeeting by Citrix enables you to collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, and projects all online. And with HD video, you just need a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. You know, because you got to be able to see people's faces. You really do.
That makes
do.
A huge difference to me. I can't even talk on the phone, really. You
yeah.
know what I mean? I'm
so sad. Of course, we're doing this on a podcast that most people listen to without seeing us.
Right, but if I couldn't see you, yeah. I wouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah,
show.
Yeah, you probably could. It's so easy to launch or join a meeting from anywhere using a Mac, PC, your iPhone, or tablet, which, of course, I use in the bathtub for GoToMeetings. I love GoToMeeting. I love being able to do meetings. I travel so much to do shows and stuff that, GoToMeeting is like being able to be on TV. You stay in one place and it goes over to everybody. Start hosting your own face-to-face online meeting today with GoToMeeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Really give this a try. It's the best way to have a meeting. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, because why wouldn't you, and use the promo code PEN. That's P-E-N-N, like the name of the octopus. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code PEN. Try it free today. And it also doesn't have delays. It's a really good technology. It's a really good way to be able to put stuff together and make it happen and try to get some of your meetings done without having to fly or drive to those places. I wrote a whole script using this technology. It's terrific. And mailing and shipping are an important part of running any small business, but it can get in the way of actually growing your business if you consistently making trips to the post office. What a waste of time. So use Stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale, calculates the exact postage you need for any class of mail. You'll never have to go to the post office again or even lease one of those expensive postage meters. At least the expensive postage meters. Stupid. We used to do that. Now we use Stamps.com in the office. If you were to send in to our website and say, could Penn and Teller please sign this, it would be sent back to you with Stamps.com. And if you buy motorcycle parts from Dustin.
That's what I use. Yeah, absolutely.
Stamps.com. And how many things go out from the Big Dustin Mega Corporation?
Oh, geez, easily 3 or 4 a week, which I know doesn't sound like a lot. But
that is
for
a
me,
lot.
Yeah.
If you had to go to the post office every one of those times,
it would be ridiculous.
It would be a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's perfect for you because you also don't know what motorcycle parts weigh and all that. You got your little scale. Mm-hmm. You used your scale for anything else yet?
No.
You haven't weighed an octopus or anything? No risk trial. Right now, use my name, Penn, for this special offer. No risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer includes digital scale up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. And before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Penn. That's Stamps.com. Enter Penn. P-E-N-N. And, I'm going to do the LegalZoom, too. Because LegalZoom, I just looked at it here. I get all excited. Are you waiting for the perfect time to start your dream business? It's now. LegalZoom, the official sponsor of National Start Your Business Month, wants you to get started right now and get started right. Whether you set up an LLC, an S-Corp, sole proprietorship, or nonprofit, LegalZoom takes care of you from start to finish. Their award-winning service was developed by the best legal minds in the country, and every business gets personalized attention. That's why over 90% of LegalZoom customers would recommend the service to their families. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. You'll be in good company. Over 24 companies on the Inc. 500 list were started through LegalZoom. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Over 24. It's National Start Your Business Month, so start your business right at LegalZoom.com. You did a will at LegalZoom,
I did,
right?
My will, my last will and testament on LegalZoom.com, and it was fast and easy and delightful.
Did you stumble over that being of sound mind thing? just a little bit, just for a moment?
My wife was looking over my shoulder.
LegalZoom is not a law firm and provides self-help services at your specific direction. But there's so much more. Now, every LLC and incorporation package includes easy-to-use business accounting software, a $269 value, free. Be sure to enter PEN in the referral box at checkout. That's PEN, P-E-N-N. Start your own business, protect your family, and safeguard your assets at LegalZoom.com today. Audible Podcast, I mean audiblepodcast.com, GoToMeeting, LegalZoom, and of course Stamps.com, all wonderful sponsors of Penn Sunday School. And you can also go, if you're going to buy something at Amazon, which all of us do all the time, please go to PennSundaySchool.com first, clear your cookies, click on the banner there, and you can buy whatever you want at Amazon, and we get a little taste of it. And if you wanted to buy my book, Penn Jillette, Every Day is an Atheist Holiday, you could do that and make us very, very happy. And now we're back with our squid guy, Rich. And what the fuck are you talking about with squids flying?
They fly.
What?
Yeah. It is what it says. We've known about this for a while, and there seems to be several species that do it. But what was done recently was some Japanese researchers went out and got some real information about them and saw how they're flying and what they're doing. So are you familiar with flying fish?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, from cartoons.
Well, good. Okay, it's exactly like that. They bend their body to propulse themselves out of the water, and then they spread their fins, their pectoral fins, into wing-like shapes, and they glide, and they can actually goose themselves by hitting their tail against the water, and so they can extend their flight. What these squids do...
How far will a flying fish fly?
Flying fish can fly pretty far.
Yeah, 100 yards.
I want to say 500 meters.
I've seen them go 100 yards.
Yeah, but I also want to say, you know, that I'm made of chocolate. So,
why?
Probably to get away from predators, just like the flying fish do. So these
are
squid
the flying fish. Are you saying that the flying squid can go 100 meters?
The flying squid can go is that right? Yeah, 100 meters. No. I'm sorry, 300 feet.
That's about the same, right?
No, that's totally different. Just I was very confused.
Well, now I am too.
A fish, would they use that little ink pack to shoot themselves out of the water?
Well, it's pretty close. It's the funnel where they shit from.
But that puts them upside down, doesn't it?
No, they can move that wherever they want to move that.
What?
Yeah, the funnel is mobile. So it can come out the right side, it can come out the left side, it can come out the bottom. There's a big opening around the mantle where the mantle joins the rest of the body.
And they can slide their funnel around their mantle? Did that question kill them?
Yeah.
With an interesting look.
They can also aim the funnel.
I can also
see, I'm telling you, if you come to Oakland, you can come to the Squid Hotel with me, and you can learn all kind of stuff.
Okay, now, so they get up a big head of steam or a mental esteem. Yep. They shoot themselves out of the water, and then they hold their arms out and glide squid?
The squid have, they're like a torpedo shape, and at one end is the arms, and at the other end is their fins. So they hold, once they get into the air, they hold their arms and fins out in a kind of a aerodynamic shape, and they glide for 100 feet.
It's crazy because they have the fins on the front, and then the tentacles are the arms on the back, and it really looks like a canard airplane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's got a small wing in the front, big wing in the back. Really cool.
The arms have got a membrane between them, so as they spread them out, they actually get more surface area. So
oh, nice.
They can get more lift.
Have you ever
seen
that
kind of position works underwater as well? So it kind of makes sense that they could do it above water.
And they do that to get away from predators.
That's the idea. And they also, of course, by doing that, they're opening themselves up to other predators. So there's some speculation that seabirds may see them and be able to swoop on them and eat them up while they're in the air.
I've never seen.
I can't see a seabird winning that battle, right?
They're not giant squid size. These guys are only about 6-8 inches long.
Oh. That changes everything.
Such a depressing.
I just crumbled up my suicide note.
Exactly. The fear just drained from our bodies. We're all so relaxed now.
But I mean, really, I can see even more excitement. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. I can see more excitement in it's a bird, it's a plane, it's a motherfucking squid!
I think it's a fish, it's a squid, it's Superman. Finally justifies all the enthusiasm, right?
That's right.
It's a squid, it's a fish, it's Superman.
Yeah, well, that's you got to see whose joke that is.
I don't know whose joke
it is. It's that woman in Boston whose name I forgot. Yeah. It went to a lot of trouble to find out who it was. You can find out who it was. A really, really funny comic in Boston.
Great joke.
Whose name I forgot, who says it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. What are those first two people so excited about? That's her joke. It's a great, great joke. And I hate that it was going around the web as though it were just everybody's joke. And it's not. It's this one woman from Boston who I should know her name. And if you tell me it again, I'll try to remember it from now on. So have you ever seen a flying squid in Squid?
No, I have never seen a flying squid.
Well, you know, in the article, it mentions this has just been a rumor for years. And I love that they go, this has just been a rumor for years. Oh, my God, there it is.
Well, it's been a rumor, but it hasn't been a rumor. So, like, in 2001, somebody saw these but didn't get any pictures of them. And they wrote a short paper and brought a bunch of about six examples of it together, of a couple of different kinds of squid.
But
that
it wasn't a drunk guy in the swamp seeing it. It was actually a squidologist, right?
It was. And then a couple of years ago, I think in 2010, a guy actually got some pictures from the deck of a cruise ship. And so now we have researchers doing it. So we actually have... Apparently that the photos the researchers took mean more than the cruise ship guy for some very strange reason. So it's kind of we've known about it for a long time. We were sure it was happening 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, and now we've got some more data, which is pretty cool.
Now where does this happen? If the kiddies and myself want to see a flying squid, where do we go, Rich?
To the Squid Hotel in Oakland, California. Japan, around the coast of Japan, is where these were seen. But it's probably going on all over the place.
What do you mean all over the place?
In tropical waters.
Okay, okay. Okay, that's
not happening in Vegas. Probably going on all over the place.
Now, you know what bothers me about this? There's rumored flying squid, and there's real flying squid, is your cryptozoologists who say that there's like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster. They take a great deal of power from the flying squid, right?
They do. And also they were taking a great deal from the giant squid footage as well. There's reports that was all faked too. Apparently it was shot in the same place as the moon landing was. And so I think it's been a bad year for the pseudo cryptozoologists who have gotten a couple of things scratched off their list this year.
Tell us about, I didn't watch like I was supposed to. I didn't watch the giant squid thing on Discovery. I imagine you did.
I did. It was pretty good. The just watch the last half hour.
Exactly. Yeah, it was 90 minutes of them going, we're going to see a big squid, man. We're going to see one.
Oh, man, it was so big.
Oh, almost saw one today.
Yeah.
No, that's not it. And then the last 30 minutes was some good video.
Yeah. It was like Ghost Hunters with real scientists for the first part.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then we actually saw something instead of just felt it.
Oh, it looked like that might have been a giant squid. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Giant squid. You hear? What was that? Yeah, so it was a great video. Very cool stuff. Of course, we're now waiting for the actual data to come back from that mission. Because what do we know? We know that it's pretty because it's all iridescent and beautiful. And we know they're there, and we know there's at least one way to attract them, or two ways to attract them. It does look like there's still the big debate going on about how they hunt. Are they passive hunters or active hunters? And I haven't seen any data that lets me know anything if that's cleared up or not. There's that one shot that it looks like it's moving forward with all its arms, and then opens them when it catches the fake jellyfish, bioluminescent lure. And then the other one that they showed us the most footage of seemed to be missing its tentacles. So we don't know how those are used. You know, do those dangle or are they active in hunting?
What
so
we do
we're
know
not
they
sure.
Must be delicious because they were missing.
Yeah. Well, a lot of cephalopods will lose an arm here or there and it will grow back. So it could be that that's what happens with the giant squid as well.
Well, the cephalopods are really like science fiction supernatural creatures, aren't they?
That's so cool about this new one I'm working with at home and soon to be at work.
In your lab, in your home lab.
Oh, yeah, my home lab. Oh, I just realized we should call it the Octopus Dustin, because then it would be on Tiger Beat.
I like that. There we go.
Cephalopod Beat.
This one is weird because it does all kinds of things that other octopus don't do. You know, mates beak to beak. They seem to live homeowners associations. They live in groups of up to 40 animals. Octopus don't do that. They cohabitate in the same den. I've got a male and female one living together for the last 6 months. And usually
Cephalopods can marry in California, is that correct?
We support all alternative lifestyles here. Yeah, they're just wicked cool animals. And I've been meaning to mention, if people want to learn more about them, can I pimp a website that's not mine?
Please.
Yeah, tonmo.com. It stands for the Octopus News Magazine Online, T-O-N-M-O. And there's any information you want about cephalopods, that's the place to go and get it.
Are you involved with that website?
I am a moderator at that website, but I haven't been very active because I've been busy.
And the
yeah, you have, you filthy man.
Liar, you liar weasel.
Getting busy with the cephalopods.
Oh, baby.
I also love that you'd be a moderator on that site, because there's a lot of them that say, fuck you, Justin Bieber's better. But come on, let's keep it civil, let's keep it polite, and let's keep it on subject, okay? Okay? Richard Dawkins is an asshole. That's got nothing to do with cephalopods. Please, keep it on subject. What about John 3:16? It's got nothing to do with cephalopods. Please keep... Is that what you do as a moderator?
That's exactly what I do as a moderator.
So tell us more about your so-called imaginary undiscovered octopus that lives in your bathroom.
Sorry, let's talk about John 3:16.
How do you attract giant squid? You said there's two ways to attract a giant squid. What are those two ways?
This is cool. This is the cool thing about this show. It was like a contest.
Yeah, it was a contest.
three different people with different theories of how to catch one.
Yeah, one of them made this big ball that did this bioluminescent flashing, because the idea is that a jellyfish getting eaten will flash to attract a bigger predator to come and eat the thing that's eating it. So that seemed to work. Another way was to grind up or blend up a bunch of squid parts and hopefully get some squid love pheromones. That's how, what's his name? And if I knew his name, it would be much funnier. Isn't that great? Now I'm talking about a joke I couldn't get the punchline for. Even funnier. Brad Pitt, that's how Brad Pitt got his woman, right? He ground up another woman. And
that was a good recovery. That was a fine recovery.
so And they put that out into the water and hoped that would attract a giant squid. And the other way was to use a piece of bait, which is another squid, and a bioluminescent attractor on that as well. Or a luminescent attractor. It's not bio, it's electric. So they tried those three ways, and two of them got squids, and one of them didn't, as far as we know.
What was that one, the grounding up?
The grounding up didn't work.
Yeah, well, squids apparently went the other way. I can't figure out why. We released a lot of ground up squid parts into the water. Turns out they all ran like it was a horror movie.
They might try it again. I would assume they'll try it again next time and try to just get some of the sex parts to grind up rather than a whole squid. But we'll see how that goes.
And now, do the squid eat each other?
Oh, yeah. Most octopuses and squid are cannibalistic in some way, which is why it's weird that this imaginary octopus that's at my house lives together. So that's a really, really strange thing for them to be near each other so much. You see these Humboldt squid, the ones off California that have been getting a lot of press.
The red devils.
They're in big packs. They're really strong. And when they're being fished and, the blood in the water kind of makes them go crazy, and they just start attacking and eating each other. When we put two octopus together to mate, we're very careful watching them, because if it goes badly, it goes really badly.
Like those are the ones that have blades on the end of their arms, right?
the GMO octopuses.
Blade suckers, they're called, because they run on the carbon fiber.
Some of the hooks and the suckers on some of the squid tentacles are pretty awesome and vicious. The suckers on some of the squids have got like a serrated ring around them. So it's like this knife that goes all the way around that they can use to dig in the flesh and hold on to things. And then they get these big hooks that swivel around and dig into their prey. They're crazy vicious cool.
Wow. Crazy Wicked vicious is. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah?
I'm just saying, you've eaten up enough of our show that we're not going to get on to another subject. So keep spitting out the cephalopod shit.
Wait, how many cephalopod murders have you witnessed?
Yeah.
If they eat each other, have you witnessed them just take the other apart?
I have gotten them apart before that has happened.
Wow. How did you do that?
With a paintbrush.
Hey guys, come on. Come on. Or did you do Mick Jagger? People, who's farting in what fall? It was a squid Altamont, right? People, who's farting in what fall? That was my Mick Jagger impersonation at Altamont.
I love it.
Pretty good.
I'm so glad, spot on. So glad you told us.
That's why you don't pay your squid security with six packs.
I did wake up one morning and found, when I first started working with dwarf cuttles, I woke up and found the cuttle bone and some tissue. And the cuttle bone is the thing in the cuttlefish that allows them to change their buoyancy up and down. It's kind of like this really light porous bone that they move ammonia-based fluid in and out of. And so I found one of these, and it had bites out of it. Looked like a shark bit in the surfboard, with those kind of teeth marks. Uh-huh. And that's the beak taking chunks out of it. So I didn't witness that, just the leftovers.
Oh, man. Wow.
Now, I want you to tell us, just at the end, tell us three things about cephalopods. And one of them make up totally, and two of them be real, and see if we can tell. Because when you started saying pumping ammonia into the porous bone to change the buoyancy, I thought there was a chance you were talking out of your funnel. So right now, I'm putting you on the spot. We want three cephalopod facts. One of them you just pull out of your funnel.
Okay. The first one would be that in the lab it's been shown that cuttlefish can use their skin to mimic crosses or a checkerboard pattern.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. The The Pacific tree octopus is the only octopus that's ever been found on land or near fresh water.
Okay.
And when small, the Pacific red octopus actually swims in schools.
I'm saying two is the false one.
Going with the tree?
I'm going with the tree.
Let's recap. Recap. So one
makes crosses and checkerboards.
Checkerboards.
Fresh water and lives can go onto the tree.
Right.
And swims in schools when they're very young.
Right.
I'm going to go with three.
Three? What are you going to?
I'm also going to go with the third one because he named a specific species, so I feel like that's his out. Is that he can say no? It's a different species that swims in schools. Because the other one, the number two, sounds so unbelievable that I feel like he's trying to get me on that one.
What do you say, Godot?
I'm gonna go with number two.
Okay.
Two for two.
No one. Everybody believes they can do checkerboards and crosses. Oh, you're saying one.
Oh,
Reddy Rich is coming into one. What are you saying, Jera? One, two, or three?
Two.
She's with two. So we've got votes for all of them. So which is the one you pulled out of your funnel?
Number two.
Yay!
Oh, damn it.
See? We know.
I wanted to believe an octopus was found on land.
You so wanted to. Are there any freshwater octopuses at all?
There are no freshwater cephalopods and no cephalopods that live on land, although some cephalopods can crawl over land at low tide.
How far?
From one pool of water to another. They're 10, 15 feet.
That must look amazing. Far.
It's pretty weird. If I remember, I'll send you a video.
Oh, we lost his sound. Yeah. You go away again.
I feel like if there was a land cephalopod, that we'd make a really good car jack. You like crawl into your car and then like boost it right up with his tentacles.
Yeah, the thing is, there are land cephalopods, and they're called spiders, right?
They're called coconut crabs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Run for your lives.
With a coconut crab.
I got to get back my suicide note out.
But those multi-legged armed things are all kind of sort of related somewhere, right? They didn't parallel develop. Somewhere back, back before the ancestor with us, there's an ancestor of spiders, crabs, cephalopods, and all... You know, beautiful, amazing, but slightly creepy things all have one amazing, beautiful, and slightly creepy ancestor, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, that's what Dawkins says. His new book, Things I Pulled Out of My Funnel.
That should be his segment. I mean, we're obviously going to have him back, so we should always end with Pull It Out Your Funnel.
Yeah.
We play Two Truths and a Lie.
Pull It Out Your Funnel Sunday.
Pull out your funnel Sunday. Yeah, well, the fact they can move their funnel around their mantle,
right,
is actually crazier to me than flying.
Yeah.
They'll do that. I've seen octopus do that to kind of blow things away from them.
Huh. Oh, he stopped talking.
He's doing mime now.
Yeah, he's doing mime.
Clearly an
they'll
octopus.
They'll actually point it at stuff and blow things away from them if things are bothering them or if they're trying to blow kind of like leftovers of a crab they've just eaten away.
And the thing that's bothering them is usually you, right?
Yeah, the octopus I have at home actually is pretty meticulous. It'll eat a crab, and then it'll come about 6 inches away from its den, and it will throw and blow all the remains of the crab away from its den.
That's because they cohabitate. Yeah. I would do that too if I had to be there with my wife. Just me, I go, it's crab, who cares? So
it's also a tidy species, right?
The tidiest species ever known.
Thank you to Rich Ross. You can check him out on the 27 things that'll screw up your childhood. He's number 22 and moving down still, I think. Probably moving down as things come in. He's also, we will look forward to his paper. We will go to his website, which is called The Octopus. What? Tell us once again.
Tonmo.com, T-O-N-M-O.
Thank you very much, Rich Ross, our squid expert on Blowing Out Your Funnel Sunday. And, please, has anybody else written in for a city we should go to?
Oh, yeah, they keep coming in. Columbus, Ohio, New Brunswick, New Jersey. Yeah.
If you got a good city for us to bring the podcast to, please let us know. Write to Dustin at...
PSSTour@gmail.com.
PSSTour@gmail.com. Let Dustin know where we should go. And remember, fuck yourself and hell are covered. We automatically assume. As a matter of fact, in your RE, you can put hell or fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And then put the city underneath. Remember that that food, sex, and money are all attractors. You don't have to grind up podcaster parts and put them in the water. That won't work. That'll make us run away. But food, sex, and money are all attractors. Use your bioluminescence. Get us to your city. I want to thank Matt Donnelly, here's here. Dustin Knaus, our Tiger Beat centerfold.
Oh, yeah.
Tiger Beat hasn't approached you yet, have they?
Oh, they have.
Oh, good. Yeah. And Michael Goudeau, we have Jarrah Strong, we have Reddy Rich, we, of course, always have Spicoli, and there's Peter Golden, and there's Glenn Ally, our producers, our big, big boss, Adam Carolla, because we're on the Adam Carolla Network. Please do subscribe to our podcast. Please do rate it. Please tell other people about it. We like doing this. We'd like to keep it up. Thanks to our sponsors, Audible.com, Stamps.com, LegalZoom, and GoToMeeting. Check them all out. Type in pen. Go to the website. Do everything right. And remember, I love you, and that was Penn Sunday School. Now, next week, we're doing a full 90 minutes with Jim Norton, but you won't know it because we're recording it ahead of time, leaving it in the bag until one of us gets wicked sick or something. So you better hope for that. Next week, we'll maybe have a little less squid information. Other than that, it'll be just Ben Sutton School. How much of the show was squid this week? A lot of it.
Like, about 50 minutes.
6 out of the 8 legs.
Blowing out your funnel.
I get hit in the face with a flying squid, would I die or have to go to the hospital?
This is Corolla Digital.